Blog Talk Radio.
There we go. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And welcome to Miracle Outreach Ministries on Sunday. I'm Pastor Sabrina, and this is the Sunday where Miracle Church Local and Miracle Internet Church come together for joint service. Amen.
Amen.
And we are so grateful to the Lord that he has blessed us with all of these spiritual blessings in heavenly places through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Everything we need, he's already provided. Everything. You need victory in spiritual warfare, it's here for you. Take on and take with you the power and the blood of Jesus. I can remember the day I found out the strength that you receive from the blood of Jesus. I was in college. And I was getting quite weary. I remember that. But I would always sing the songs the choir had sung in church. And so I did. And I sang, there is power, power, wondrous working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wondrous working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Saints, you need to sing it too.
Amen.
You'd be amazed what comes into your physical body when you do. There's a change that takes place when you call on the power of the blood of Jesus. And sometimes we get around to being human and thinking, oh, it's just a song. But it's not just a song. It's not just a song. There is something supernatural that happens when we call on the blood of Jesus. And some of us that are more seasoned saints really do know this. But others need to learn it for themselves. It's through your experience with the blood of Jesus that you will come to understand that your weakness is made strength. And what was wrong is righted. So I want to encourage you, even if you're in a place where you can't sing out loud, you can hum. You see, God gave us that. You can hum. You can hum. The devil knows what you're humming. The angels know what you're humming. They can't hum it with you, but they know what you're humming. You see, there was no blood shed for angels, so there's no possible forgiveness for demons or Satan. You do understand. Jesus died for humans. He came in human flesh. He came to save mankind. So while the angels will be silent, heaven will be filled with your own vocal rendition of, there is power. Power, wondrous working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wondrous working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Peace comes when you enter into the blood.
Amen.
When you identify with your blood covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ. Some time ago, I posted in the chat room several blood songs, and many of you downloaded it or did something with it so you have it available to yourself. And when I think about it again, I'll do it again. Amen. 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 Withholding nothing. I posted that one too. I did some posting this week. And if you haven't had an opportunity to partake of all that I posted, I was doing quite a bit of posting. And yesterday, I had a posting anointing. I did. I posted stuff I didn't know was out there. And I said, see, Lord, you want everybody to know this because we need to do what these things are telling us to do. So when you go to check, just keep going and keep going. There's a lot to find. There's worship. There's an article. There's a lot of links on how to keep yourself out of trouble and how to walk in the protection that God has made for us. Amen? So avail yourselves. If you're one of these infrequent visitors to the chat room, it's time for you to change your attitude and become a far more frequent visitor. Why? Because there's a lot more there than you realize. And God put it there for you. Amen? Amen. So, as you know, at the beginning of our broadcast, we celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, I was sitting here a little while ago and during praise and worship, and I thought, Lord, had I actually been there, would I have been able to withstand what I saw happening? Or would I have passed out? Have you ever thought about that? If you were actually standing there, watching them nail him to the cross, watching him hanging there and dying and blood is running out of every part of him, would I have been able to take it? I don't know that I would have. You know, I'd like to think that I could have, but I'm not so sure that's the truth. I might have passed out before they got the cross fully erected. You know, it's not, you know, those pictures they have where it's all sanitized and homogenized and pasteurized and all those things that really didn't happen. That's not how that was. You go to the grocery store and you go in the meat department and you look at some meat they ground up and the blood in that, well, that's not blood, but that red fluid is still there. You get a better idea of what it was really like. You see, that cat of nine tails didn't just have nails and thorns. It had all kinds of hooks and crude metal things in that leather. They weren't being kind. Those people were full of demons. His visage was marred more than any other. If I said he looked like hamburger, I think I might be coming short of the truth. You see, this is a real gospel. It had a real rugged cross on a real hill. And you had a real Savior nailed to a real cross. It wasn't perfumed. It was in the natural. And you could see it and smell it and feel it and be fully impacted with the horror of what you were looking at. And sometimes we get into this fantasy mindset that's just a lot. And you know, you walk past something and you see this sanitized looking Jesus that looks like he needs some Geritol hanging on a cross. But it wasn't that cute. It wasn't. And since I'm a person who prefers truth to cute, let's tell a little truth. He was torn to bits. there wasn't much of him left. And that crown of thorns, I used to have a plant that they named the crown of thorns until it froze one year. And those thorns were not small. Hold up one of your big fingers. Those thorns were long like that. And they crushed them. They pressed them into his skull. I know what a skull looks like. I've been a participant in an autopsy before, human autopsy. I know what a real skull looks like. And I know what that damage did. And so I can't have this cutesy idea, oh, he died on the cross. No, dear. It was a slow, agonizing, painful, excruciating process. The demons didn't just bully him. That's not the case at all. They did everything they could do. So you can have deliverance. And some point this month, I would like for you to sit down with the Holy Spirit and ask him to make that situation more real to you. Because it needs to be. You see, we sin too cavalierly. We just do what we do and, oh, no. There was a serious price that was paid for that. And it's not a price that you can take lightly. So, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, from my position, seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, I ask you to draw us closer to the truth of the old rugged cross and the price that was paid there. Help each of us, Lord, to accept, to receive, to know, to understand, to comprehend the price that was paid for our soul. Thank you, Lord, for answering my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. It's important that we understand. You see, when you understand the importance of that sacrifice on the cross, you won't be ashamed or afraid to pass out a tract. Not at all. You'll be proud to pass out a tract. And those of you that have received them thus far, don't wait. Go ahead. Pass them out. Pass them out. People are dying and going to hell, and they don't even know why or that they are. They need to get the point. Amen? They need the point. They need to get the point. And if there's anything that we can do to help them get the point, we need to do it. We need to do it. We don't need to be concerned about what people might think. I'm far more concerned about what Jesus thinks. I'm far more concerned about what my Heavenly Father thinks. I'm not living here to please myself or to please people. I want to please God. And I hope that you are in the same position as well, that what life you have, you've offered it to Jesus. Not worrying about your own self any longer, but choosing to be a living sacrifice for him. Amen? Amen. So I'm going to give you a few moments to talk to the Lord about whatever your sin life is, whatever trespasses, whatever. And then we will celebrate Holy Communion together. Amen? Amen. Thank you. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, thank you, Lord, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Partake of the bread. After the same manner also, he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Thank you, Lord. Partake of the cup. Father, we want to thank you for the healing and the strengthening that come, and the cleansing that come when we participate in Holy Communion. Thank you, Lord, that you provided this for us. Amen. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. That's important. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, we love you. And we desire to be filled with all your fullness. Therefore, we bow our knees to you, God our Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named. Grant to us, according to the riches of your glory, that we would be strengthened with might by your Spirit in our innermost being. Father, we receive that by faith in Jesus' name. We choose by an act of our will to let Christ dwell in our hearts by faith, so that we, being rooted and grounded in your love, may comprehend with all saints the breadth, length, depth, and height of Christ's love. Father, enable us to know and to experience fully the love of Christ, which surpasses human knowledge. Fill us with all your fullness. Thank you for always being present with us. Thank you, Father, that you are able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to your great power that is at work within us. Thank you, Lord. Unto you, O God, be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. We are dripping. Okay, put a piece of tissue in the bottom so it doesn't drip. So like here. Here's some. Amen. We'll just call it a blessing. Amen. We'll just call it a blessing. Ariana, thank you very much. Amen. And so you want to know, who is Ariana and what does she do? Well, she chose some songs during praise today. They were blood songs, and I appreciate it. So, there, now you know. See, they want to know. These are curious and sometimes nosy people that are your brothers and sisters in Christ. They want to know. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Marcelina says yes. Okay, Lord, we got to laugh. Okay. You see, I keep telling you, we're a family. And we act like it. We act like it, you see. We really do act like it. Yes, sometimes, but more often than not. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Let me see if I can find everything I think I'm supposed to have today. Sometimes I have it, and sometimes, well, the Holy Spirit has fine things for me. Amen. Let me see. No, it goes like this. All right. Praise God. Well, today we're going to have a little talk, and Jesus is going to have a little talk with us. He's going to have a little talk. We sort of talked about this before, but we seem to need a little more talking because God is coming today to talk to us about this a little more. You say, well, why would he do that? Because we haven't done all that he wants us to do about it. That's why. Amen? You know how we act. You know, he comes to talk to us about a subject, and then we say, okay, and so we take two steps. And then we say, okay, we did it now, and we go off to something else. And so he has to come back and talk about it again so that we get the point that, no, he meant further. And so we said, but we did it. And he said, no, he says, no, not, you didn't come far enough. Amen? So he's come to nudge us again. Amen? This time, don't put the brakes on. That's right. Don't put the brakes on. open your heart wide, and don't put the brakes on. Praise the Lord. You think it ought to drip gold? No, I don't want them in here now either. Not unless they want to get baptized. Anyway, moving right along. You want to know what's so funny? Well, we're not telling everything. Amen. So today, the Lord says we're going to talk about this subject. Only of himself. Only of himself. You could put herself there, but I decided it was too awkward to say it that way. So I just stopped with himself. Well, praise the Lord. No wonder it's raining in the church. Well, I haven't. You mean you're not going to come hug my neck? How dare you come to church and not? Yes, we're on the air worldwide. You may as well just come on up here and hug my neck. I don't want to hear.
I'm happy to see you. Okay, I'm free anyway.
Amen. I'm glad to see you. And so you want to know who that is? Well, that's your sister in Christ coming in. Amen. She's coming in from another state. Oh, good. I want to eat some brisket there. Okay. She's coming in. Never mind the brisket. Get off of that. Get off that part. I know you. Get off the brisket part. She came in from San Antonio, Texas. Amen? And we're happy to see her. It's been a long time, and we've missed her. Amen? She has a gorgeous smile. Amen? Praise God. So now, I see you can hear me well, so I won't ask for a sound check. We're going to talk about only of himself. Saints, God has called us to be like himself. So we will continue in our study on new attitudes in Christ. Amen. Shakira, you want some brisket, honey? Do you really think it's going to make it all the way from San Antonio, Texas? You really think so? Okay. Well, we'll see if Jesus can life flight you some, okay? Let's try to believe for that. Anyway, Pharisees were a set of self-righteous and zealous Jews who held to the letter of their interpretation of the Jewish law. See, they held to their interpretation of the Jewish law, not Jesus' interpretation. They held to their interpretation of the Jewish law. You know, there are a lot of what we have termed as denominations that have their interpretation of the scripture. But what you need is what the Holy Spirit really did write and what he really wants you to know and what he really wants you to do. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And so we're not going to worry about everybody else's interpretation. Because I don't know what was going on in their mind when they decided that that's what it meant. I'm going to stick with the unction from the Holy One. Because he said, I have an unction. I have a knowing. I have an inner strength, an inner power in me. Mm-hmm. Good morning, afternoon. Amen. So nice to see you. Well, Brother Andre is here. How to do? I want my hug now.
I don't want it later. I want it now.
How you doing? God bless you.
So who was that? That was the United States military. That's who that was. Amen. So, where did I leave off? I got distracted, Lord. What'd you say? Oh, thank you. I diverted back to the brisket again. I want to come in with some brisket. Okay. But it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. I already got the barbecue sauce I want, but I think I'm going to do it with no sauce. I want it just the brisket. Shakira, I'll think of you, dear. I'll think of you. So the Pharisees were a sect of self-righteous. You see, they believed they were right, period. And zealous Jews who held to the letter of their interpretation of the Jewish law, as well as to their own tradition. We have a lot of that in Christianity, some of our own tradition, some that line up with the word and some don't. Even in our families and in our culture, we have traditions, some of which who line up with the word and some who don't. So let me say this. If your tradition does not line up with the scriptures, as a child of God, you are not obligated to honor it. We got that straight? If your tradition, I don't care how long they've been doing, if it does not line up with the scriptures, if it does not please Jesus Christ, you in no way are obligated to honor it. Yes, there will be those who become offended because you make that choice. But I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. Amen?
Amen?
There's a part of that song that says, I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. So you have to decide who you're going with, Jesus or your culture, or Jesus or your family tradition, or Jesus or your church's tradition, or Jesus or whatever other tradition there is, or custom. Amen? All right, it's up to you. You can choose. You don't have to do it the way they always did it. It might not be right. Amen. So what Jesus told them was that many of their customs and traditions flew in the face of the word of God and nullified it. That's what he told them. He told them there were a lot of things that they did that God didn't say. That's not what God said. So what are you doing it for? And they decided they were going to keep right on because that's what they believed in. Their faith and trust was in doing their tradition, checking it off one by one. So Jesus said in Mark 7:13, you don't have to turn there, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things you do. Many, not a few things. You've got a lot of things that were trained into you that just aren't God. And they get in the way of what the Holy Spirit wants to do. Because when he wants to go this way, your tradition smacks right into it. And what do? Bow to your tradition most of the time. Unless you have learned better. So when he came to set you free, he came to set you free from everything that's not him. All right? He came to set you free of everything that is not him. So if you want to be free, you can be, but you've got to want to be free. They were, these Pharisees, the most bitter enemies of Jesus Christ. flock because he did not kowtow to the order of the day. He wasn't people pleasing. He came to please his father, and that made him stand out. And that gave him many an enemy because they wanted him to act like them. And he refused to be anyone other than who he was. Some of us have compromised part of our own self because we have decided that we're going to give up part of who we really are to be like somebody else. And God didn't call you to do that. You're to be true to who he made you to be. There's always going to be somebody with an opinion, but they aren't God. There's always going to be somebody that has too much to say about who you are really supposed to be. But remember, they don't have any blood to wash your sins away. At some point, you've got to determine the value of the blood of Jesus to you. Amen? So, there was also in this parable a publican. And publicans were our day the IRS. They were tax collectors. And they were not highly thought of. They were despised by the Jews, despised, hated. It wasn't just, I don't really like you. No, it was not that way at all. It was, I don't even want to see you when I come out my house. That's a lot closer. Okay? Amen. They thought of them as scum. You know, people you wouldn't let your enemies go near. Those kind of people. That's what they thought. That's how they felt about it. However, Jesus called Matthew. And Matthew came from that group of people. He was a tax collector. So right in there with all these differing personalities and vibrant attitudes, he puts a scummy tax collector. That did not make the Pharisees happy. It never could. Why? Because they don't associate with those kind of people. You know what that is. You've run into it. So, we have this scene where Jesus is giving this parable, and I'm going to read you part of it. It's located in Luke chapter 18, beginning with verse 9. Luke chapter 18, beginning with verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican, a tax collector. Go. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioner, unjust, adulterers, or even this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. My, really? Yes. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, Jesus says, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased. This is a guarantee. Jesus said it out of his mouth. This is a guarantee. And he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. My, my, my. My, my, my. Praise God. This is a guarantee. It's not going to go any other way. It doesn't matter how it looks. The power of God is going to bring it through, just like it's printed. It's going to happen just that way. You don't need to go talk to anybody and ask their opinion. Will it turn out this way? The Bible says so. That's it. It's the word of his power. So, this is what happened. Matthew, by the way, let me say this about him. So when you're reading the book of Matthew, you'll think a little differently. He was an eyewitness to most of what happened in Jesus' ministry. He was right there in person. He didn't need an interpreter. He didn't need a snapshot. He was there in person. He was an eyewitness. So what he wrote is what he saw and what he experienced and what he heard. Okay? Amen. Sometimes, oh, this is just a book of no. I was there, standing right there when it happened. That's what the book of Matthew is. I know about this. Jesus told me this. That's what I'm writing to you. Let us note that it's stated in verse 9 that certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous. They weren't trusting in the law. They trusted in themselves. That's a very dangerous and weak position, saints. It's an extremely dangerous and weak position. Amen. This is too weak a position for us to rely on. You see, we're humans. We're mortal. We've experienced corruption. We've experienced corruption. Adam and Eve saw that. No thanks, but it happened, okay? So it leaves us in a very weakened position so that we need the supernatural power of God to succeed. We have to have the Holy Spirit. You know, I've been talking about this subject to you ever since I became the pastor. Who the Holy Spirit is, what he does, who he is to us. And I'm still asking you to open up to him, open up to him, open up to him. There's a lot more that he wants to do in you. You're too weak to try to walk out Christianity in your own strength. You haven't got it. In fact, if you had, you'd have done it by now. So now there's your proof positive. You must have the power of the Holy Spirit. No, your opinion will not do it. God says his thoughts are higher than your thoughts, so it's his opinion, not yours that counts. Right? Good. We understand that. We understand that. So these people were trusting in themselves. They figured they had gone down the laundry list. They checked everything. So they was all right. They had it going on. But they were wrong. Has that ever happened to you? You thought you were right. I mean, you just knew you were right. And you turned out to be wrong. And then God came and got in your face and told you you were wrong. You couldn't argue with that person anymore because he moved them out the way and he stood straight in your face and went, mm-mm. Okay, so it can happen to you too. Just like it happened to the Pharisee It can happen to you too. You can believe that you're right, that you're right, that you're right, and be wrong. I'm hoping that some of these people that want to kill children that ought to be born before they are born will come to that place and realize I've been wrong. It's happened to some people. I recently read about a man who was over an abortion clinic. He was a doctor. And one day he ran into somebody and they said, well, you changed your mind. He said, no, I didn't change my mind. I got born again. And so God used him to start a movement and a ministry to shut down abortion clinics. That's the power of God. That's the God I know. You see, God comes to change us. And when we are changed, we start to act like him. We start to see things the way he sees it. We start to talk like him, move like him, perform like him. That's what he wants. He wants his children to be like him. Amen? What the world needs now is love. Well, he is love, and he wants more love. Okay? So, I have a question there. Millions trust themselves. Some trust religion. Do you do this? You don't have to yell so I can hear you. God heard. Or they trust a denomination or no denomination. Amen? Some trust in a nation, a country. Some a secret order or a lodge or a clique by trade or association. And despise all others who do not belong to that order or race. Are you doing this? Are you? Are you participating in this? Because if you are, you have some of the same qualities as this Pharisee. The Pharisees were braggarts. They were a offensively boastful person. They freely express their pride or satisfaction in their deeds or abilities. They were always overbearing and overstating their own attributes as though it's a triumph. You know, they had the big head. Before you pat yourself on the back and say, at least I'm not like that, check yourself. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, may not at all agree with you. As you know, he cannot lie. Verse 10 tells us that both the Pharisee and the publican were religious and had some degree of regard for God. Both went to the temple and both made an attempt at prayer. The Pharisee gives an accurate illustration of self-righteousness and pride in religion. In this parable, the Pharisee brags about the following. I do not pray with sinners, period. I do not like other men. I am not like them. I am not an extortioner. I am not unjust. I am not an adulterer. I am not like this publican. So he set himself apart from a lot of people. Self-righteousness and pride tend to look down on others who are not like them because they consider themselves a fitting example of what ought to be, so they think. Self-centeredness begins very early in life. Perhaps it is the first negative childhood characteristic that surfaces. Friends come to visit you, bringing their child into your home. Your child watches as the young visitor makes a beeline for the toy box. The eventual fight and tug of war over the toy speaks loudly of the weakness of insecurity that displays itself with no shame at all. It's mine, 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 mine. And since you want to bother what's mine, don't come back. That's the attitude. Stinking flesh, but that's what it is. It seems as though this trait follows us doggedly the rest of our lives. Self-centeredness surfaces in many, many ways, and here are a few. Pride. Yeah. Well, yes, overconsciousness of one's own dignity. Well, you know, my family comes from a line of descendants that were on the Mayflower. Well, guess what? The Mayflower wasn't the only boat there. The Mayflower. You know, a lot of those people that came through on the Mayflower were down there in the bottom of the boat doing the rowing. So what are you trying to tell me, that yours was at the helm and somebody else was at the bottom? That doesn't work. That doesn't work. You know, my family traces back. So what? maybe they weren't the nicest people there. Maybe that's why they were there. Who knows? Just because they were there doesn't give them a pedigree. And that's what they're saying to you when they say that. I come from this exclusive group. But you see, none of us were there to actually experience the group, to make a determination for ourselves. So before you try to put it on a pedestal, examine the group. Let's walk in some truth. Let's have some light on the situation, shall we? The quality of having an excessively high opinion of oneself or one's importance. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. To every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. You're not such a suchy much, God is saying. You know, you're dust just like everybody else. And if it weren't for his breath, that's all you'd be is dust. Amen? Amen. So don't look at your skin color and think you were sand on the beach. No, dear, we're all dust. That's real. The pride of place. The most important position among a group of things or persons. Favoritism precedence by preferred status. Preferred status. Some people think that's a badge they're supposed to wear and everybody's supposed to read it and then bow as they come by. But that's not it. You know, some babies caught that idea when the family's at the dinner table and they're in the high chair and they're above everybody else. And it stuck. It stuck. And they're still walking around like there's a crown on their head or something. Nobody ever put one there, but they are certain that it's there. You've met them. You know. If you're one of them, take that thing off, okay? Jesus is a much better crown. Amen. I know this woman who actually did put a crown on her. But it came from Burger King. That's no joke. She actually did that. I'm telling the truth. Amen. So they have this tendency to lean toward being arrogant or disdainful or superior or haughty and smug. You know them. You met them. The proud do these acts. Assuming that you already know something when someone is teaching. That's a form of pride. Seeing yourself as too good to perform certain tasks. That's a form of pride. Being too proud to ask for help. That's a form of pride. I do it myself. Mm-hmm. Feeling the need to consistently teach people things. It's a form of pride. Talking about yourself a lot and when you shouldn't. Well, they'll be talking about something else, and then you butt in, well, I such and such and such, and I such and such and such, and I such and such and such. And I'm like, really? We weren't talking about that. But it happened. Believing that your own opinion is more significant than it is. That's pride. The pride that stems from self-righteousness or conceit is sin. Jesus said so. And God hates it because it is a hindrance to seeking him. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18. You've heard this scripture before. Pride goeth before destruction. So this is the pathway that you take to get to destruction. You know, we used to have printed maps, and now they want to GPS everything. I like printed maps. It shows you where you are, what's in your surroundings, and all the different avenues you could take to get where you want to go. Well, if you take the pride road, it's going to lead you directly to destruction. Mm-hmm. If you don't like it, you'll have to make a U-turn. A haughty spirit. You know, your head's going to be so high that you're going to end up with a fall. Why? Because you can't see where you're going. You can't see down there. Why? Because you're so haughty, your head's up here. And all you see is what you think is there, not what's actually there. So, we have to learn. James chapter 4, verse 6. James chapter 4, verse 6. James chapter 4, verse 6. But he giveth more grace. You don't have enough grace to overcome? He giveth more. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud. And I have to pause here for a moment and help us to realize that some of the messes we have not been able to get out of is because we've stepped into pride and haven't figured it out yet. We've stepped into pride and we haven't figured it out yet. So today, after service, I know you're going to run in your prayer closet and go, where did I step into it? I want to get my foot out. Amen? God resisteth the proud. In other words, strong arm back. He resisted. Nah, I'm not rolling with that. The proud. But giveth grace unto the humble. That's what you saw with the Pharisee and the publican. You saw humility with the publican, pride with the Pharisee. But God resisted that. If you don't want God resisting you, it's a good time to drop the pride. Amen? When people feel bad about their own flaws and insecurities, they tend to mask them with feelings of pride. Low self-esteem and low self-worth need to be crucified with Christ. Amen? Galatians 2:20. You know this one by heart. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. Galatians 2:20. But Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So if you've got all this duffel bag of insecurities and you're hauling it around, you know, and then you swing around the corner and it swings behind you and knocks somebody down, you can hurt somebody. You could do bodily harm to somebody swinging around that big heavy duffel bag with all them insecurities in it. It's dangerous. It's lethal. It really is. You could hurt yourself and somebody else. So, selfishness. Yes, that's in everybody's duffel bag. Just admit it, okay? Get over that. Selfishness. If you think you got rid of it all, well, you need to talk to the Holy Spirit today so he can help you understand that a little bit. Selfishness is being concerned excessively or exclusively for oneself or one's own advantage, pleasure, or welfare, regardless of others. There are unwise, selfish persons who only think of themselves, and they experience confusion and pain. Amen. Listen. There are others who know that the right thing to do for themselves is to be there for others. Those who are selfish will tear down others in order to elevate themselves or to get what they want. This is a very sinful quality and can do great harm and damage to others. A selfish person is often unkind and experiences little remorse. They don't care. You can stand there in the kitchen and tell them all about how selfish they are. They don't care. They don't feel any pain. They don't have any remorse. Think about it. When they say they're sorry, a wise person will not believe the lie because it's just hot air coming out their mouth. Their actions don't back it up. A selfish person experiences difficulty putting themselves in another person's shoes. They are devoted to caring primarily for themselves and concerned primarily with their own interests. A saint who is self-centered is preoccupied with their own thoughts and feelings and may not be very attentive to the needs and perspectives of others. Philippians 2:3. Philippians chapter 2 verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory. You know, remember the scripture said love is not puffed up. It doesn't vaunt itself. We might go there. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. But in lowliness of mind, the mind's got to change. Remember we talked about a new attitude? but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Other better than themselves. Other better than themselves. Okay, we're going to practice that, aren't we? You know, we're going to stand in front of the mirror like we did when we were growing up, and instead of what we jammed to before, we're going to jam to other better than themselves. Other better than themselves. We got it now? Okay? You missed that mirror? Okay, go in the bathroom, and after you brush your teeth, try it again. Okay? Well, you can do that. This sin hinders a person's walk with Jesus. Why? Because they have a lack of empathy. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, they have a lack of empathy. They got a pit where they should have a platform. Covetousness. I know you know about this one. I know you know about this one. Covetousness. Covetousness is an insatiable desire to find fulfillment, meaning, purpose in things, and lifestyle instead of in God. You still want the lifestyle of the rich and famous. If you knew what some of those roads were, you wouldn't want it. The extreme of this sin is called cold-hearted worldliness. Cold-hearted worldliness. So let's go visit Colossians. We're going to go to Colossians for a second, just for a second. And we're going to Colossians 3, verse 5. Colossians 3, verse 5. Mortify, put to death. Mortify, you know, like Morticia, put that thing to death. Make it a stiff. Of course, therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Jesus says your little covetousness that you don't think is so bad is actually idolatry. The Bible still says the wages of sin is death. I dropped covetousness. I'd let him go. He couldn't be my partner no more. If you learn that in your growing up environment, then that's one of the customs and traditions from your environment that you need to let go of. Because it won't work in the kingdom of God. There is no idolatry in the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. So, let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5. Amen. So, he says it again. For this ye know, that no whoremonger or unclean person nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. So if you're covetous, you're an idolater, and you have no part in the kingdom of God. Amen. Praise God. Let's go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 6, verse 20. Matthew. I learned this scripture when I was in, I think, fourth or fifth grade. Matthew chapter 6, verse 20. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt. There's no corruption in heaven. And where thieves do not break through nor steal. See, if you're covetous, you're concerned about the pleasures and wealth and what can be accumulated in this life. But Jesus says, that's not my plan. My plan is for your true riches, your treasures, to be laid up in heaven. There is no corruption and there are no thieves. You don't need a security system for that. Amen? Amen. It's having or showing a strong desire, especially for the material life. Remember Lot's wife? She looked back longing for the things of this world, and she got judged for it instantly. I wonder how many pillars of salt there would be if Jesus did it that way again. It is an evil desire for something which belongs to another. It can lead to greed, to stealing, to jealousy, to envy, to adultery, and to murder. Murder. We talked about that the other night. This saint's struggle is directly connected to a dissatisfaction over the presence of God in their life. God is not enough for them. It's always as though they need something more. Jesus, I met a lot of these kind of saints. It was never just Jesus. They had to have Jesus and something else. They were never satisfied with just Jesus, just the love of God, just the word of God, just the Holy Ghost. No, that was not it for them. They want Jesus plus something else. Amen. Amen. As they say, everybody, say they're going to heaven and going. Self-exaltation. Self-exaltation. Amen. Self-exaltation. Ah, that's what that. Exaltation of oneself, vainglory, self-importance, airs, big-headedness, cockiness, putting yourself on a pedestal. They do a lot of that in the military, don't they? Failure to realize that you are no better than anyone else. Wow. Matthew chapter 23, beginning with verse 10. Matthew chapter 23, beginning with verse 10. So if I want to define this, I just need to go around the military and breathe the air, right? Amen. Just breathe the air. It's right there. Mm-hmm. Matthew chapter 23, verse 10. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. The Masons aren't here to hear that part. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. It's a guarantee. And that's the way it goes. Self-justification. That's a good one. Excusing oneself of one's action. You used to practice that as a kid. Okay, it's three of y'all. Something went wrong. Your mama shows up. But what did you do? I didn't do nothing. I didn't even see nothing. I didn't hear nothing. I just went over in the corner. You what? All of this stuff going on, and you telling me you went in the corner? Yes, ma'am. I just went in the corner. Now you know that don't work, don't you? It just doesn't work because everybody got punished. That's the way it went. If you were in the right house, everybody got it. And some people couldn't go out to play anymore either. Amen. So you've already been through a lot of these things, but you're not supposed to still be practicing them. You're supposed to have left them behind. So we came along today to help you remember that you can't pick them up again. Amen. Justifying oneself, especially if in offering alibis, excessive reasons, explanations, excuses, and such, often displays when one's behavior is inconsistent with their professed belief or an important element of their self-concept is threatened. They see themselves as. And so you, in Christian love, want to go to them and talk to them and say, I know you believe this, but really, in practice, it's like this. And then you give them three examples, and they fly through the roof. There you have it, self-justification. And they tell you all the reasons you are wrong. You know, it's the same thing with husbands and wives. Your spouse is sooner or later going to see your flaws, your insecurities, your inconsistencies, and you told her you were a Christian, and she's going to look at the scriptures, or he's going to look at the scripture, they're going to look at you and say, that's not what he wrote today, right there. And the minute they start to point out what you don't want anybody to see or know, then you're getting upset, you know, and then your pout is on. You don't want to go to dinner no more. You don't want to do this no more. And you sure enough don't want to do that anymore. You know how that goes. Okay. Well, let me tell you about that self-concept. You need to haul it and everything they told you to Jesus and say, okay, I need you to separate between what I thought I heard, what I think they said, and what you want me to change. There it goes. You don't have to be offended. Did you know that? You could take it and say, okay, I'll go to the Lord, and I ask him about this. You don't have to get all your back all up and your mouth all full of hot air, and then you storming out the door acting like you don't have good sense. And you don't have to go through that whole charade and show. They do that on TV. You don't have to do it in real life. You can leave that out. That's on TV and in the movies and in the soap operas. You don't have to act that out. It doesn't have to be you. They get paid to do that. You're not getting paid, okay? Let's get it straight. There will be no deposit into your checking account because you showed out like they did. So what you doing that for? You working for free? Okay? So what you do is you go to Jesus and said, is their criticism legitimate? And if it is, y'all get in the word, and he'll help you come out. But you don't have to go through that tirade, and there's got to be four more arguments about what was said in 10 minutes. It's just unnecessary and uncalled for. And what it does is it opens the door for Satan to come in and do ugly, nasty things that he couldn't get done before. What you did by throwing your fit, you know, when you were little, you used to throw your fit and your mama step right past you and keep going. Well, okay, you throwing your fit now and the devil comes in the house. You were having a legitimate conversation. Your spouse is explaining to you, but this is what actually happens, dear. I know you think it's this way, but it's not. It's that way. And you decide to blow up. Well, you could have saved all that. The devil wouldn't have been in. You go talk to Jesus. The problem gets solved, and you still go to dinner. Does that make sense? It's a lot cheaper to go to dinner than to have the devil moving in your house. Okay. So let's think about it reasonably. So spirit desires to dominate the conversation. They're not going to let you get a word in to try to say, but the Bible says, they don't hear that. That's all you do is talk about what the Bible says. Well, that's the only thing interesting. may be drowning out all others, or an outlandish display in clothing. Now, some people take this to a different kind of extreme. And you wouldn't think this has anything to do with self-justification, but they do. They're going to do something totally out of character, so to speak. And you're like, what is that? We're not at Walmart. What's going on here? This is not Walmart. This is our house. What's going on here? Okay, just bind it and keep rolling, okay? Because you got to deal with it. Jesus' parable of contrast between the Pharisee and the publican is a good descriptive comparison for us to reflect upon. It is a large mirror into which we should all take a long, hard look. As we do, we will see childhood insecurity following us. Remember that cloud that used to follow that guy on Charlie Brown? There it is. Remember everywhere he went, it used to go where he went? Okay, you get rid of that in Christ, okay? You don't have to keep him around. He's not your ride or die partner. It's the Holy Spirit. Okay, we got that? Good. We got that now. You don't have to keep him. And so when your wife says, I see him, nah, come on. Let's get in agreement. I see him. Get in agreement. Get rid of him. Go to death. Okay. Can we be simple about life? Amen. As we do, I'm going to say it again because somebody didn't want to hear that. We will see, if you open your eyes in Christ, childhood insecurity following us. Yeah, it was your buddy before. You think he's still your buddy. You just getting standoffish, you know, now that you got this Jesus stuff. No, you got to remind him, we done. It's over. It's over now. Because he'll come back later, you know, one of those reinforcements, to try to knock on your door again. Hey, it's me. No, it's not. Even into our Christian life, that contributes much to our what? Immaturity. Yes, Pastor said it out loud, so you can't ignore it. Mm-hmm. It contributes much to our immaturity. This is not an image that we should walk away from and promptly forget. James, chapter 1. James is going to help us. James is going to help us. And so, you know that excuse you've been giving your wife about, I didn't have a daddy or a father to help me. Well, in Psalms 10, there's a scripture that says that God is the helper of the fatherless. So he just took the rug from under your excuse, okay? Amen. Whatever you lack, he's made up. Whatever you didn't get in childhood, whatever you didn't get when you were being reared, he's got it all. All you have to do is go to him and get it. Well, I didn't learn how to be a man. Well, what's the problem? He made men. Don't you think he knows what they ought to be? Whatever you think you lacked in manhood, you go to him, he'll set the record straight. He is the supplier of your needs. He supplies all of your need according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus our Lord. And he said all. So whatever you lack in womanhood or manhood or personhood or humanhood, you can get it all right there. There's no lack in our God. Well, my mama didn't teach me how to cook. Jesus knows how to cook. I can guarantee you that. I can prove that myself. He can teach you how to cook. And you don't have to know the name of the spice you're putting in the food either. You just do what he says do. Amen. Did you hear that, Ariana? Good. Jesus says that the Pharisee stood and prayed with himself. This self-centered, selfish prayer is an apt description of well over 90% of all prayers. Lord, bless me and my family of four and no more. It's a little rhyme that is all too familiar. The Pharisee thinks only of himself. He thinks he is much better than anyone else. Now, how can a self-centered person do otherwise? How can he ever get to know and understand someone else, their family, you know, sometimes they're called in-laws, their problems and their needs, if he's all wrapped up in himself? This one is wrapped up in only one person, himself. You can't do that in marriage. The wrapper has got to come off. Boy, it got quiet, God. Probably this began in childhood. And as an adult, this person is yet to what? Face it. And begin to prayerfully acknowledge it before the Father. There's some of that stuff in that duffel bag you don't want to take before the throne. You busy swinging it around behind you, knocking folk over. And God's having to stand them back up and help them recover. But you don't want to take it to God and say, we need to do something about this. This shouldn't be with me. I don't want it anymore. It's not in Jesus, and it shouldn't be in me. Amen? Amen. So, we need to get rid of that duffel bag thing, you know? It's not good. It's not good. Notice that in the Pharisee's prayer, he contrasts himself with the sins of others, which he thinks are worse. How many times have you heard someone say, I'm not any worse than most people I know, and probably a little better? My question to you is, why would you compare yourself to somebody you think is worse than you? Why compare yourself to the worst? Why not compare yourself to Jesus, the best? Why? Because it's going to show up your flaws, your insecurities, your this, that. But that's what he died for, dear. That's what he died for. Remember that? That's what he died for. He died for you, all of you. Yes, even the ugly and the unmentionable. He died for it all. So, we want you to know that even those who know God can remain self-centered if they refuse to face their insecurity. It is possible that these deep, unchallenged insecurities in the saints have caused much distress in the church and has stopped the fresh breath of revival. Jesus, in talking about loving our neighbors as we do ourselves, was endeavoring to break us out of this mold. It is apparent that the Pharisee had not been able to do this, or couldn't do it, or didn't want to do it. And he looked around for someone with which to compare himself, to make himself look better. So the commandment to love your neighbor as yourself will cause you to think of others first. If we are preoccupied with ourselves, now we must make the obedient switch. The neighbors and their needs must become the ones you remember first as your home proceeds in prayer. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 28. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 28. So men ought to love their wives as their own body. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. The remedy for many marital problems rests with the husband. I'm just going to tell the truth now. Paul already commanded wives to submit to their own husband, not somebody else's husband, their own husband in the same vein in which they submit to the Lord. So if the wife is doing her part according to the word, then the resulting responsibility rests on the husband. Amen? The husband is the head of the wife, the same as Christ is the head of the church. He is to love her as Christ loves the church and gave himself for it. Gave himself, you know, withholding nothing. Withholding nothing. This is where the selfishness kicks in. Withholding nothing. Why? Because this is what happens when you come to God. You're supposed to come to God and give yourself away to him, withholding nothing. And so what he takes, he gives to your spouse as a gift. It's supposed to bless them, nurture them, help them, strengthen them, all those good things. But when you go to act in flesh, and not in the spirit, you try to snatch the gift back. And that doesn't work in the kingdom of God. All of that flesh has got to go in the dumpster out by the curb. And that's where it belongs. So the sanitation people can do their job effectively. You're supposed to be in the spirit of God, offering the gift to God, and God transfers it to the spouse. Hallelujah. Well, that's the way it's supposed to go. See, marriage is made up of God, a husband, and a wife. All of that other interference, not supposed to be interference. The interference, you know, hit the mute button. It's not supposed to be interference. That doesn't matter which mouth the demon uses. All the interference needs to step away. This is a unique situation. Two completely different but same individuals that God has brought together in love. The real thing, not the TV version, not the Hollywood version. The real thing. It's called holy matrimony. That's what it's called. Holy matrimony. We have a holy God, and he brings holy matrimony. Amen? All right. See, Lord, this is going just fine. Just fine. Let's see if we can't help it. So when the husband is going to act like Christ, when he endeavors to do this, he will find himself fighting against all of his insecurities. From a child, if not taught differently, and most of us are not, he was turned inwardly. My toy, my car, my house, my life, my time, my. As an adult, he must turn and put somebody else first, his wife, his children, his church, his Lord. He can't be first anymore. You got to vacate that position. You see, when the premature news came out that the Supreme Court was going to give abortion back to the state because they said they had no business getting in it to begin with, okay? All these men went to fly to the urologist to get a vasectomy. I mean, urologists, they was driving pickup trucks, but now they have Maseratis. Hello? The urologist said, my ship came in. And they don't care how much it costs. They sign the paper here, because they ain't going to be able to pay for the abortions no more. So, hey, fix this. But see, there's a judgment on that. There is a judgment from the throne of God on that. They don't know it yet, but they'll find out. There is a judgment on all unrighteousness. Well, because men have not been taught to face this insecurity, they are deeply frustrated in their marriage relationship. And when your honey tries to help you understand, you put up that usual wall you put up when you don't want her telling you nothing, because you don't want her telling you nothing anyway. Back to the prize. So, we must face the insecurities that plague us. You say, well, where did this start? Genesis chapter 3, verse 12. That's where this started. Genesis chapter 3, verse 12. This mess started in Genesis chapter 3, verse 12. Genesis chapter 3, verse 12. And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest be with me. She gave me of the tree, and I did eat. It's the woman's fault, God. It was the woman's fault and your fault because you gave her to me. So Adam accepted very little of the responsibility for his sin. Now let's talk turkey. This is a weakness of character, and it's rolling like a river everybody I talk to. You can't do that. The psychologists call it projection. She says, well, you know, when you said that the other day, blah, 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 you don't want to hear that. So you come back a couple of days later, and you're going to tell her everything that you could think of that you decided is wrong with her. And the reason you act the way you do is because she does blah, 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 blah. And God isn't going for it. And that's why I'm standing here today telling you this. God's not putting up with it. What you're trying to do is manipulate the situation. You're wrong and you know it. You are not her judge. You don't qualify for judgeship. And you have no business trying to sit in the judgment seat. You're supposed to deal with your own mess that you've had for years but refused to deal with. You come a little way with Jesus and then you sit down. And then you come a little further and you sit down. You have a problem, you come a little further and you sit down. Instead of getting up off your holy run, off your royal run, and running the distance with Jesus and knocking this problem out. No, not you. So, Jesus is calling you out today. And he's saying, you know you have this problem. You even have names for what you call. But I'm calling you to get in your prayer closet with me and push your plate back and turn the TV off and get in here with me so I can help you. I want you to overcome. I want you to be a man of valor. I want you to be a man of courage. I want you to have some backbone. I want you to be sweet to your wife. You're supposed to be a gift, not a headache. So now, we got to get out of business. God's saying, I want a change in you, and I want it now. I want a change in you, and I want it now. No more putting it off, putting it on a shelf, sitting it over there, and then you just do what you want to do. Well, I dealt with that. No, all the way. See, there's no pride until you cross the finish line. There is no prize, no laurel, no trophy, no medal hanging around your neck until you cross the finish line. And I suggest that we all cross the finish line. Amen? Amen? Amen. So, how do we find help? I skipped two scriptures, didn't I, Lord? Okay, let me give them the scriptures. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own self. Yep, 2 Corinthians 13, 5. Examine yourself. Whether you be in the faith, prove your own self. Next scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28. But let a man examine himself. But let a man examine himself. We just had that scripture for communion, 1 Corinthians 11:28. At least that's what it was the last time I looked at it. Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. You have to examine self. So, how do we find help after we have knowledge of the weakness of self-centeredness, self-exaltation, self-consciousness, pride, and selfishness? Jesus has the answer for us. He contrasted the two, Jews and prayer. The Pharisee prayed from selfish pride. The publican prayed from deep humility and in acknowledgement of his sin. We must face our earthly apparent weakness as saints, since the righteousness of Christ has taken care of our external righteousness. As we face these earthly insecurities, our wonderful Lord will help us. He wants to, and he will. We can overcome our weaknesses by taking them to him. We can overcome our weaknesses by taking them to him. Let us face our selfishness in our marriages. Most of us love ourselves more than we love each other. Through repentance, we are to acknowledge this. It is not a better husband or wife that we need, but a bigger heart. Divorce often creates more problems than marriage does. The publican's prayer, "Be merciful to me," caused him to be justified. God heard that prayer, and he will hear you. Not only was his mercy and grace available to us for the time we prayed as sinners, it is constantly available as we live this Christian life. God, our loving Father, wants to meet all our needs as we look to him to help us and heal us from our insecurities. Yes, recast the message so you can get the parts you missed. You see, miracle, this is not the first time God has called us out on our insecurities. This is about the third or fourth time. And he's ready to get down to business, and you ought to be ready to get down to business too. He means it. You see, he'll keep calling and keep calling and keep calling to you, and when you keep ignoring him, things get a little more difficult. There are consequences to ignoring God, and many of them are not so pleasant. There are consequences to putting him off. And some of them are quite unpleasant. Amen?
Ain't that right?
So now, he's calling you on the carpet today, love. Answer the king. Amen? If you want unpleasant consequences, act like Jonah. Act like you didn't hear it. If you don't want that problem, show up at the king's place. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. God is good. Be good to God. When God calls you out of your mess, get out of it. See, he knows what's up the way. You know, there's some blessing. Okay, he said, go ahead and say it. There's some blessings that are up the road that if you don't deal with this now, you're going to miss them blessings. They're already earmarked for you. They got your name on it. Nobody else can get them. But you got to do what God's saying to do now, or you're not going to get them. And no, it's going to be like your boy that looked for repentance. He sold his birthright. He looked for repentance and could not find it. God did not release the grace of repentance after he did what he did. See, people play with God. See, they taught us when we were little, don't play with God. Jesus Christ is nobody to trifle with. He's not to be taken for granted. When he keeps trying to get your attention on something, you better jump too. It's time for you to get the job done. It's time for you to make it happen because you're going to forfeit blessings being stubborn and backward and rebellious because you know rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. So can we be serious with God? Because all day today, he's been very serious with us. See, you don't treat Jesus Christ that way after he hung on the cross and dripped blood everywhere and went through everything he went through. And he's still loving and long-suffering with you. You don't mistreat him that way. You don't attempt to abuse him with your bad attitude. I don't care if it was the same attitude your daddy had. The son doesn't have to die for the sin, for the father's sin. That's what the Bible says. You need to ditch that attitude and get on your face and put your plate back and get real with God. Okay? Everybody understand? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Our God is a good God. He wants to bless you. He got some blessings. Some of you got some money up the road. But you're going to forfeit that money messing with Jesus. I'm going to tell you now, you treat him wrong, you won't ever see that money. And you're going to come to need that money. That's the reason he has it there, because he knows what's coming and you're going to need it. It's also some people that's got some promotions they're going to forfeit. You've heard it first. You may recast it. It's recorded. It's recorded in his word, and now it's recorded here on our website. You can play it over and over and over till you get it right. Amen? But God has some blessings. But see, you have hindrances to your blessing. And he's come to help you deal with your hindrances and your blockages, because he wants to bless you. God is in the blessing business. So you sit there with your nose in the air and don't want to deal with it, you will forfeit your blessing, but you will surely regret it. Amen? Pastor loves you. Pastor loves you. So I pray that you take heed to what you heard today. Amen. Amen. Let everybody say amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. You know, God is sweet. The devil did not want me to come to church today. He didn't. I mean, I was in a good mood, was in good spirits, had gotten some good sleep, and I was dressed. And then all of a sudden, something happened, and I had to go change everything and start over. I went, I said, no, we ain't doing this. You know I came anyway. Because I'm from old school. Ain't no demon going to stop me now. I'm old school. Ain't no demon going to stop me now. I don't care. Now, you're not getting away with that. So, I made it. Thank you, Jesus. I made it. Brother Bill prayed for me. Thank you, Jesus. The devil nasty, but God is great. So, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, from our position seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, we bind Satan, the strong man, all of his evil angels, evil spirits, demonic agents, all of his underlings, timings, decisions, maneuvers, tactics, devices, plans, orders, and we cancel all demonic assignments and satanic agendas against the righteous. In the name of Jesus, we take the territory from Satan in Jesus' name. We bind every form of godliness which denies the power of Jesus Christ. We come into agreement with the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, and we come out of agreement with Satan, his agents, and his wicked powers. We close and seal all portals, channels, open doors of access to the enemy. We pull down all demonic thrones. We bind the wicked principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and all spiritual wickedness in high places. We release the all-consuming fire of God on every ley line, silver cord, and garland. We bind the demons and workers of darkness in the heavenlies, in the bush, and in the deep. We bind rape and murder to its strong men and dethrone them all, chaining them all in eternal chains and darkness, placing them in the custody of the Holy Spirit. We bind the sources of all witchcraft attacks, and we return the attacks onto the hands of the devils that bring them to cling to them for eternity. We bind all trafficking demons, reporters, listeners, watchers, peeps, whispers, familiar electronic digital technology demons and their attacks. Leviathan spirits and their attack, all brainwashing Kundalini spirits and their attack, water and marine spirits and their attack, sex devils and their attack, unclean spirits and their attack, passive devils and their attack, pain afflicting spirits, sleep deprivation, artificial intelligence, smart dust spirits and their attacks, all sorcery devils and their attack, all seducing, womanizing, whoredom spirits and their attack, all the voices of the stranger, the charmer, and the seducer in their attack. We bind the Havana syndrome, brain changes, injuries, all remote viewing, all sonic and audio weapons in Jesus' name. We bind all targeted radio frequencies, all pulse weapons in their attack, all microwave attacks, debilitating sonic frequency attacks, the work of every druid. We bind all hypnotic trance devils in their attacks, mystic rituals in their attempt. We bind all and overturn all and empty all cauldrons and chalices upon the heads of the conjurers and the magicians. We bind all microwave frequency weapons, 5G, anything coming from what we call outer space or another galaxy. We bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. We raise the shield of faith and quench all the fiery darts of the wicked in the name of Jesus. Every weapon aimed against human beings on earth that comes from another satellite system, that comes from other satellites launched into the upper atmosphere, that comes from a planet or from an orbit or moving through space, we send it back from whence it came in the name of Jesus Christ. We reject it and will not receive it. You will not attack us in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind all EMPs and EMFs in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind all transmissions coming through our cellular and electronic devices and through the cell towers in the name of Jesus Christ. You will not be used as weapons against us. We bind all electromagnetic attacks, smart tech technology and particle attacks, techno-paganism, and mind control by the occult. We bind all force feedback, cyber stalking, cyber sex crimes, pornography, demonic curiosity, bewitching spirits which manipulate modern technology, pulse microwave radiation attacks designed to cause neurological problems, brain injuries, debilitating headaches, vertigo, binding directed energy, microwave weapons, binding all vibrations, which are demons. We bind all 5G and all the components that hurt us in Jesus' name. We overturn and empty all cauldrons and chalices upon the heads of the conjurers and the magicians. We bind every order of magic and mystic arts. We bind Buddhist, black magic, Santeria, Kabbalah, Egyptian, Chaldean, Hindu, Indian, African, European, North American, South American, Islander. We bind all Caribbean, Latin American, black and white magic. We bind Haitian black magic and white magic, Jamaican black magic and white magic in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind all Morgellons attacks, and we return every attack to the senders. We bind the culture of corruption worldwide. We bind all free-flying devils. We bind all evil spirits which take animal form, all shape-shifting spirits, trapping them into their shifted form for eternity. We bind each demon responsible for the dominion of sin in our culture. We bind hyperactivity, racing mind, inattention, impulsivity, and low levels of dopamine. We bind the prince of the power of the air, and we return his powers to Jesus Christ. We bind the power of the dog and every abomination that was committed. We bind the Lord of the flies and his agents, and we place them under the feet of the Lord Jesus. We bind the Mandela effect. We bind all satanic ritual abuse, devils, satanic worship, witchcraft dedications, and all rituals done on the phases of the moon. We bind all formations of bullflies and demonic insects. We bind all spiders in their webs, trapping them in their own webs. We bind the transference of evil spirits, spirits of infirmity, supplanting the gods of the people of the land, the gods of the groves, and every spirit that exalts science, logic, human reasoning, and demonic knowledge against the knowledge of God and makes man wise in his own eyes. We bind mammon and his agents. We bind all demons sent forth to intimidate, harass, manipulate, lie against, mock, wear down, infect, destroy, spy, sabotage, hinder, monitor, track, besmirch, block, distract, confuse, pervert, stifle, curse, expose, stop, defile, corrupt, undermine, despise, bewitch, tranquilize, assassinate, divide, confound, attack, reproach, and reduce the effectiveness of the righteous in Christ Jesus. We bind the shedding of injected persons upon us. We return and loose these attacks to the senders according to the covenant. We bind the bondage of generations of fools and the spirit of the fool in Jesus' name. We bind the carnal mind. We bind the fool's anger in Jesus' name. We bind food lust, addictions, and gluttony. We bind false flags in the name of Jesus. We return to sender according to the covenant, all and every reprisal, retribution, counterattack, psychic weapon, retaliation, all avenging, all blowbacks, all vengeance, all blood rituals, every boomerang, each payback, and all requiting of our righteous warfare in Jesus' name. This includes every work, mark, rite, ritual, ceremony, sacrifice, proclamation, pronouncement, vow, root work, or sin against us, astral projection, sending demons to us to work against us and against all that pertains to us. No demon, no wicked person, or unrighteous event left behind, binding the inordinate use of conjugal rights, returning to sender our witchcraft attacks through channeling against the satellite, from the satellites against the website, the app, or the broadcast, binding all abortions as a magical ritual, binding and returning to sender all Cameroonian wizardry, black magic, juju, hexes, vexes, such, door slammings, and the rest, returning all tribal witchcraft, especially done by Obeda men and witch doctors in the name of Jesus Christ, returning to sender all Chaldean witchcraft in Jesus' name, returning to sender all Brujeria or Spanish witchcraft in the name of Jesus Christ, binding all covens, cults, conclaves, and cabals, especially, and your, for we bind your finances. We bind your method of spreading the false doctrine and the false gospel that you have in the name of Jesus Christ. And especially all of these groups that, that come under the covering of the Illuminati in the name of Jesus. We bind you. We bind your efforts. We bind your work in the name of Jesus Christ. We send you into the spiritual cage and to the feet of Jesus for judgment. We're breaking and destroying our social, emotional, and psychological ties with food and drink, which are displeasing to Jesus Christ, binding superficial religious acts and every act of sexual sin, binding magic spells for love, money, protection, black magic, white magic, candle magic, hoodoo, root work, lucky charms, high magic, and folk magic spells, binding the demons of energies, boomeranging their wicked works upon them, binding all magical language, magic signs, magical patterns, even in numbering, binding synchrony, binding and caging Poseidon and all other underwater demons, and stripping them of their crowns, powers, and thrones, and transferring them back to Jesus Christ because all power belongs to God, binding all conjurations and summonings of demons, finding Jewish black magic, mysticism, magic writings, magic artifacts, finding the essence of magic and Jewish magic divining practices by practitioners, amulets, bowls, precious stones, etc., incantations, magic spells, both potions, binding all blockages of righteous spiritual reception. We bind all vampire spirits, voodoo, hoodoo, ancient arts, mystic rituals, that our devils attending the New World Order, New Age Movement, Great Reset, make-believe, fantasy, fables, enchantments, la-la land, false religions, numerology, horoscopes, the spirits and works of the oppressors and the spirit and the children of disobedience, binding martial arts, yoga, transcendental meditation, antichrist ideologies and doctrines, Ahab and Jezebelic practices and spirits, lewdness, perversions, the outworking of vain deceit, death spirits, spirits of destruction, chaos and mayhem, oppression, depression, anarchy, premonition, clairvoyance, ESP, telepathy, psychokinesis, out-of-body experiences, reincarnation, haunting, poltergeist, astral travel, psychic healing, demonic meditation, and spirit guides. We bind you in the name of Jesus. We bind defilement by wizards in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you and we give you praise, Lord, for the deliverances. We bind the king of pride and all of his underlings. We bind you, chain you, send you into the cage and to the feet of Jesus for judgment. We bind all human, demonic blood, sexual, financial, animal, food, fecal, and soulish sacrifices. We bind all devils attached to idols and idolatry. We bind every form of rebellion, idolatry, root work, mind control, apathy, unyielding, nature worship, deception, scoffing, error, worldly indoctrination, military spirits, idle mind, unfocused mind, rioting, abuse, all trolls, all fear, combative jealousy, fleshly ambition, the culture of corruption, weariness, betrayal, unfaithfulness, violence, and temptation to sin. We bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind Belial, Beelzebub, Baal, Molech, Baselech, Python, Neptune, Zeus, Apollyon, Kali, all gods and goddesses, Osiris, Isis, On, all false deities, Mammon, Atlas, and Baphomet in 72. We chain you with eternal chains under darkness and send you to the spiritual cage and to the feet of Jesus for judgment. We undo the works of all demonic weapons, fireballs, poisons, voodoo pins and dolls, hot and cold, spots, psychic weapons, prompters, codes, triggers, charms, tumors, designs, signals, and we turn their afflictions to the worker of witchcraft and their pagan sources. We break the powers of every Masonic ritual, rite, ceremony, vow, pledge, and pact in the name of Jesus. We bind the rituals, the brotherhood, the lodge, the craft, the worship, the grip, their charter, Freemasonry. We bind the rituals of every secret society and all the associated organizations in the name of Jesus Christ. We pull you down from your purported high place in the name of Jesus, and we place you under the feet of Jesus. We bind every spirit that was familiar to the Laodiceans. We bind the insanity, pride, work of errors, and foolishness of our own opinions. We bind being misled and misleading others. We return and loose all retaliations of the enemy upon his own head according to the scriptures. We bind all traditions and customs rooted in sin. We denounce and renounce them all and loose ourselves from them. We bind the gang stalkers and send their fear, harassment, and witchcraft back on their own heads as well as their mind control. In Jesus' name, we bind the spirit of slumber. We thank you, Father, that you have given us power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm us. We rejoice with you that our names are written in heaven. We bind every spirit that denies the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood atonement on the cross of Calvary. Father, we ask for eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to believe, minds to receive. What the Spirit of God says to the church, we repent of an evil heart of unbelief, and we ask you, Father, to teach us to guard our hearts with all diligence. Lord, we've come to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, to break every yoke and chain, and to call for justice and plead for truth. Lord, develop in us a love for the truth. Lead us into truth. Your word is truth. Make us to know the truth, and your truth will make us free. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him, binding all electromagnetic energy pollution, binding and returning to sender all electromagnetic witchcraft, binding magical fantasy movies and TV shows, binding the unreality and escapism of the Hallmark Channel shows. Lord, we've come to celebrate the scriptures with you and to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. We will not turn back from pursuing the enemy until the Godhead does. The Lord Jesus Christ is our commander-in-chief, whom we serve and obey. We take authority, dominion, and power over every demon that has followed us, was sent to us, or transferred to us. We command you to leave us now in the name of Jesus. Even if you came through the computer or the web pages or our cellular devices, in Jesus' name.
Father, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem and elsewhere. We pray for kings and all who are in authority and all true Christians everywhere, especially those that are being persecuted or are in prison or were left behind in some other place like Afghanistan. We also pray for the January 6th prisons. Although we walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive us. You will stretch forth your hand against the wrath of our enemies, and your right hand shall save us. Father, in the name of Jesus, we cover ourselves with the blood of Jesus. We cover our mode of transportation wherever we must go, and we take authority, dominion, and power over the animals and demons of the road so that they don't cross our path. And we thank you for having dispatched your angels ahead of us to protect us. We call all objects that are in our way to move in Jesus' name. Father, we cover ourselves and our property with the blood of Jesus. We take authority over demons of the day and night, bad dreams, night dreams, sex dreams, anyone or anything trying to get into our dreams. We command them to stay away. We ask for giant warrior angels to protect us. We thank you, Lord, for protecting our property wherever we are. We thank you for the wall of fire that surrounds us with your glory in the midst, Father. We thank you, Lord God, for warring, linking angels and their shields. We thank you for praising angels. But most of all, we thank you for your very presence, Lord, because where two or three are gathered together in your name, there you are in the midst. We thank you, Father. We cut and burn all ungodly silver cord, ley lines from ourselves, all ungodly soul ties, attachments, covenants, agreements, oaths, consents, garlands, vows, pledges, pacts, leagues, and all of the forms of agreement with the demonic realm. We break down and tear down all walls of protection around witches, warlocks, wizards, Satanists, nanotechnology, globalists, shamans, sorcerers, divinators, and such. We break the power of every curse, hex, vex, love spell, charm. Thank you, Lord. Witchcraft, psychic thoughts and prayers, brain frequency, meditation, fetishes, spells, sorcery, magic, voodoo, all mind control, jinxes, potions, and bewitchment, psychic warfare, psychic prayer, torment, sickness, pain, and destruction, incense and candle burnings, incantations, chanting, ungodly blessings, hoodoo, crystal, root works, tribal sins and rituals, and everything sent from the enemy's camp, and we send it back in the name of Jesus Christ according to the covenant. We return spirits of hate, bitterness, murder, envy, jealousy, wizardry, sorcery, and all influences that are demonic. We return spirits of blindness, spirits of bondage, heaviness, fear, and hate. We thank you, Father, for breaking the yokes because your yoke is easy and your burden is light. You have given us liberty so that we may repent, and we thank you, Lord, for the spirit of repentance resting on your people in the name of Jesus Christ. With the blood of Jesus, we remove the power of the witches, warlocks, wizards, Satanists, sorcerers, Wiccans, pagans, and any other source and all of their rituals off of us. With the blood of Jesus, we erase all markings, all evil lines on any part of our body, soul, will, and spirit. In Jesus' holy name, we thank you for the blood erasing, Father. We give you praise, glory, and honor. And all of the warfare that we've been experiencing leading up to this holy season, because this is the season where we take authority over our own holiday, as it's called. We celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's our holiday. It doesn't belong to the Muhammad folk or the Buddhist folk or any other folk. This is our holiday, Lord. You gave it to us. Amen? You gave it to us. You blessed us with it. It's not anybody else's holiday but ours. We share it with you. Amen. 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 Stand for the benediction. Amen. Let me get this together. This has been a good word, Saint. It set some things in order. I feel a peace that for people who don't know, I can feel what's going on, not just in the local church, but what's going on in the internet church. Amen.
Amen.
I can feel it. I can feel it. I can feel it. And this is much better.
Amen.
Amen. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I release upon the members of Miracle Outreach Ministry and those who have joined us the blood of the everlasting covenant in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Lord, I receive it. Amen. Be blessed. Be blessed. Amen. Ah, that's where he wanted to visit today. Well, he can't visit. Church, Pastor loves you. Talk to you later this week.